You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the William Hill Daily Racing Podcast. It is about 4:30 on Sunday afternoon and another busy weekend of action has come to its conclusion. I'm Ben Barrett and I'm delighted to say that I've been joined by Will Smith, who's been part of our retail team today. How are you, Will?
Yeah, very good. Thank you. Very good. Enjoyed a good weekend's racing. So, all very happy with that.
You've been with us the whole weekend. You were with us on Racing Radio yesterday, Saturday. You were with us on the retail service today. You're coming back for more tomorrow.
I know.
You just can't stay away, Will.
I'm a glutton for punishment.
Or
maybe William Hill are a glutton for punishment, one way or the other.
Well, if we keep booking you, you must be doing something
it's
right.
It's your own fault.
To be fair, we've seen the little thumbs up graphic that we have in our retail service a few times today for winning selections. You've been in decent form, haven't we?
It's a shocker, isn't it? We need to change that ASAP because I look very silly.
I'll be honest with you, as a former cricketer, I did suggest that we should have you raising a bat, but that's between for another day, maybe.
Yeah.
As you've been with us all weekend,
yes,
I'm going to give you kind of the floor here to talk about the weekend's action. Obviously, we had a huge matchup yesterday, Underso against Deffy de Soy. Correct answer. Deffy de Soy coming out on top.
Testing me?
That's 1 point to Will Smith. Deffy de Soy coming out on top. But there was plenty of good racing. I was particularly enjoyed the run of Vintage Clouds. I thought that was just a very aesthetically pleasing win from Vintage Clouds. Open floor here. What did you like? What impressed?
Vintage Clouds, definitely. He was on my radar for that because he sort of deserved it, didn't he?
Yes.
In terms of the amount of times he's bashed his head against a brick wall at varying trips in varying types of races. And he probably hasn't got the win strike rate that a horse of his calibre you'd have liked to have had. But Danny Cook got a great tune out of him yesterday. He's got an unbelievably good record at Haydock. And in hindsight, going off at 7-1 SP, it's just an absolute standout each way bet. I can't believe I didn't notice it at the time. And given I was in the radio studio with Andrew Mount, and obviously Andrew Mount is the stats guru, isn't he? And he didn't even mention it at the time,
his
Haydock record. So both of us were scratching our heads going, have we not noticed that? Have we not backed him there? So, he was very good. And it was great to see because he probably deserved it. I know that's a really sort of flippant thing to say, but I genuinely think he did. Probably wasn't the highest quality performance of the day because you had a few other sort of smaller field conditions races, but in terms of a result that you'd have liked to have seen, Vintage Clouds winning by that amount was right up there.
Vintage Clouds has appeared in a few of my 50p's each way for Grand Nationals in the past, and if it turns up at Aintree again, it may well again appear in those 50p each ways on National Day because it ran such a just a pleasing race yesterday.
Yeah, it did. I mean, he fell at the first, didn't he, in last year's Grand National, and then he got behind and didn't seem to be going with much enthusiasm in this year's Beecher Chase.
Yeah.
So, the whole Grand National experience for him so far has not been great with those fences, but how many times have we seen it? Horses that go there on a couple of occasions, they do then suddenly get the thirst for it. So, we'll see.
I just want to ask you about one today, and that was the 2:45 at Thurles. A lot of people here in the office on Racing Radio were really excited to see the return of Footpad after that performance on Boxing Day.
Yep.
That kind of got people raising eyebrows, thinking, "Hello, it's got in amongst some good."
Yeah.
Good horses here.
Yeah.
Did Footpad ever so slightly disappoint today, or was it just a really good run from Real Steel? Something that you actually tipped up on the retail service.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that. Thank you. Yeah. it's the kind of thing where you look at a race and you think, it was a five runner race. With all due respect to Voir de Rêve and Jets, they should have been outclassed and eventually they were. So you're then left with three in the market and you think, okay, Footpad. Yes, he ran a cracker in the King George. Yes, he probably didn't stay. So yes, this is probably his trip. But equally, you look at the horse himself and you think, well, he's had a few issues. You know, he has bled in the past. This is only just under 3 weeks, I think, since the King George. and you think, well, you know, as an odds-on market leader against two sort of younger, more up-and-coming horses, I say younger, Hardline is actually the same age as Footpad, which is hard to believe, but Real Steel himself is 7 years old. And you thought, well, it was ripe for something to I say surprise, but it probably wouldn't be a surprise because Real Steel is a very, very good horse in his own right. He came into this rated 160, having won his seasonal reappearance at Down Royal and then being beaten under four lengths in the John Durkin Memorial Race at Punchestown, which is a grade one, of course, behind Min. So, and actually, if you go back to the back end of last season in a valuable novice handicap chase at the Punchestown Festival on good to yielding ground, so better ground, Real Steel put in an unbelievably good performance, both on the eye and on the clock, when he beat Hardline by 6.5 lengths, giving him weight. So on that evidence, given it was drying ground today at Thurles, I thought, well, he's got the beating of Hardline, and I just think maybe it sets up quite nicely for him now. 2.5 miles, goodish ground, they're kind of Real Steel's perfect set of conditions. That the race was framed perfectly for Real Steel, and you just thought, with a slight doubt about Footpad, with a few, you know, things ailing him, maybe the quickish turnaround, that was why I was keen on Real Steel. And it played out. It doesn't always work like that,
but it's lovely when it does.
Today it did play out. Yeah,
that was Real Steel taking the 2.45, one of the few occasions today where we did get to see those double thumbs up graphics in our retail service. We're going to have a little look ahead to tomorrow. Now, I just want to signpost for podcast listeners that earlier on this morning on Sunday, Tom Morley, one of our William Hill Racing Radio pundits today, and I sat down and had a little look at the Wolverhampton card tomorrow on Monday, purely because as part of our betting TV service on williamhill.com, Wolverhampton, Plumpton and Newcastle are all going to be completely free to air. So just as a little bit of a Brucey bonus, stay tuned for Tom Morley and I discussing a couple of races at Wolverhampton later. Will and I, however, at the moment, are going to talk about a couple of races as well. We have the 2.40 at Plumpton that we are going to mention first. 3 miles, 1 furlong and 152 yards. So let's call that 3 miles, 1.5. It's a novices limited handicap, class 3. Just to run down just the four runners here. Christmas in April, 5-4. Virginia Chick, 13-8. Over the Sam, 100-30. And Positive Touch, 50-1. The betting suggests competitive for three of them at least. Have you managed to decipher which of three to side with?
Yeah, I have, very much so. And it's Christmas in April, who is on a sharp upward curve. And at current odds of 5-4, I sort of almost half expected him to be odds on here, which okay. I know it's a handicap and people say, you know, the old wives' tale, you should never back odds on in handicaps, etc., etc. But, you know, in a four-runner race where Christmas in April has advertised his abilities and his wellness on his last three starts so far this season, he just looks like he's on a, you know, a sharp upward curve. The handicapper only gave him £6 for his Sussex National win, which I thought was really lenient, actually, because he went through the race from the front on that occasion like he was just, you know, travelling well within his comfort zone. And Harry Cobden was just always going to, you know, keep his rivals at arm's length. And at no stage was I ever not confident that he was going to win that race, even though he's only won by a length and three quarters in the end. So obviously here, yes, he's dropping in distance slightly to 3 miles, 1.5. As you say, the Sussex National itself is 3 miles, 4.5. But previous to that, he'd won at Fontwell over 3 miles, 2 in decent fashion. And he'd run a cracker on his seasonal debut at Chepstow over 3 miles, 2. So he's got a bit of pace. He's got the right run style for Plumpton. And obviously, this being a novice handicap chase, he is effectively sort of dropping down a couple of grades in terms of ability of horse and also experience of horse, yeah, over fences. That said, Virginia Chick is one of his rivals, actually ran in the Welsh National last time out and was not disgraced, admittedly beaten 33 lengths. Before that, he was fairly well beaten in an Exeter novice handicap chase as well. So, look, I think he's beatable, Virginia Chick. And then over to Sam, with all due respect to Positive Touch, is the only other worthy rival you'd fancy. And he, his reappearance run in October at Aintree didn't go all that well because he was pulled up. So, look, Harry Fry will probably get him back, and he's got some decent hurdle form. But you just, you know, everything points to this being, yeah, a great opportunity for Christmas in April to pick up another £8,000 for his connections and a good bit of placing from Colin Tizard, because this is actually a meeting that was put on at the latter stages of last week as an extra meeting because of a few cancellations, so that they must have seen the programme for it and thought, oh, that's a lovely race for Christmas in April. Pop him in, should I say, and they're probably delighted with the horses they've got to take on. They'll respect him, of course, I'm sure, but I'd be surprised if, you know, if Christmas in April doesn't win that.
Christmas in April, Hattrick Seeker could go well, according to Will. 5-4 currently, although we've said that there's a chance by the time race time that that might end up being a squeak of odds on.
I'd be surprised if it's not. Yeah, I'd be surprised, given, you know, everything about his chance and his recent form is very, very solid with respect to this particular race.
Let's have a little fast forward then. The 6:55 at Wolverhampton is the other race that we've earmarked to have a little chat about. 1 mile and 4 furlongs. There's another handicap. Class 6 this time. Tulane is 3-1. Cape Agulhas is 9-2, as is Enmishing, also 9-2. Shamrad, 6-1. Sunshine and Bubbles, also 6-1. It's double figure prices for Lifford, Nicolita, Final Attack, Last Enchantment, Lever, True Thoughts, and But I Like It is 25-1 outsider. We've got 12 of them. It's not necessarily the easiest looking one to pick. Have you managed to find something?
It's quite a competitive look to it, to be fair. Enmishing has his chance as top weight off a mark of 60, of course, and distance winner. A lot of people will be keen on Cape Agulhas, the Irish raider with Kieran O'Neill on board, who of course rides the all-weather so well, but his best form has been at Southall on the fibre sand. You've got Shamrad, who's a handicapped debutant for Ian Williams and Martin Dwyer. So there's quite a few interesting horses in there, but it's Tulane for Richard Phillips and Luke Morris that is going to be the way I am interested in trying to have a bet in this race. I think the prices you mentioned right now, 3-1 for Tulane, is in my mind a little bit short enough for him at the minute, but okay. I imagine as the day draws on tomorrow, hopefully at some stage we might be able to get a slightly better price, because as I say, it's a pretty competitive race, so at various stages I'm hoping others are seeing support and Tulane drift slightly, but I think he's got a great chance, because he was a massive eye catcher on two of his starts this season at Kempton when ridden by Jane Elliott, and then over course and distance on his third start of the season again, Jane Elliott on board. He was sort of held up off a slow enough pace and he'd never really got into it. Now he's a real sort of strong saying grinding mile and a half horse, and he actually finished behind Enmishing on that occasion. And again, his next run, he went over slightly further, which I thought would suit. Luke Morris was on board this time, and he was just touched off by a neck by a horse called Butterfield, and I think with the experience of riding him once, Luke Morris will think, okay, right, over a mile and a half, I need to properly test the other's stamina here, because I've got a horse that's going to stay. Yeah, and I think Tulane will be tough to beat if he's somewhere near there at the closing stages.
Tulane, the other selection for Will Smith. Tulane, currently 3-1, although if we're thinking that maybe your selection in the 2:40 at Plumpton may shorten before the odds, hopefully the competitive nature of the 6:55 might mean that the odds for Tulane might get a little bit more appealing.
Hopefully so. Hopefully
well, that's
so.
Brilliant, Will. We've got two selections out of you today. Thank you so much for joining us both yesterday on William Hill Racing Radio, today on the retail service, and we'll welcome you back tomorrow as
Thank
well.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining us, Will. Thank you.
Racing Radio is available on Alexa smart speakers. Just enable the William Hill Racing Radio skill or say, open William Hill Racing Radio and leave the rest to us.
As a bit of a Brucey bonus to today's podcast action, and seeing as Wolverhampton is completely free to air via our betting TV service, I'm delighted to say that Tom Morley, one of our William Hill Racing Radio colleagues, has popped into the studio to have a look at a couple of races for us. Tom, how are you, sir?
Very well, thank you.
The first race we're going to look at is the 4:25. It's the first at Wolverhampton on Monday. 7 furlongs. It is a handicap class 6. If I'm allowed to run through some very early betting first, Eglish, 11-4. Cena is 11-2. Grace's Girl, 13-2. Lucifer, 7-1. Shumley, 8-1. 9-1 for Sea Willow. And double figure prices all of the others. It should be said that we are recording this fairly early on Sunday, so prices very much subject to change. There's a couple here you wanted to mention, Tom.
Absolutely, yeah, this trappy little race, but my selection in it is going to be the top horse, Eaglish, who he comes over, or she, I should say, comes over from Ireland to do battle at Wolverhampton, and Adrian McGuinness has gone to the trouble of booking Ben Curtis for the ride. Pretty easy to see why. Obviously, Ben Curtis going really well, and this three-year-old filly has also gone well recently, really hit some form since moving to the all-weather in November. She was third at Dundalk over six, so she's just a bit slowly away, doing her best work late on. Stayed on well, was third last month up to her in trip to the seven furlongs, improved one place. I mean, had to give best to the winner quite easily, but was still a good second. And then just 9 days ago, she continued her improving good run of form because she came out on top at Dundalk. She's only up £5. She looks to be improving all the time. She's in good form. And, you know, there's a fair few Irish Raiders do come over and take a few prizes home these days. And I think, you know, she's got a great chance of doing so. And especially if you look at some of the opposition. I mean, Twittering, that's been in poor form. Fact or Fable's been struggling. I guess Where Next Joe is at least lightly raced, but I can't really say I've seen much to recommend her at present. Sea Willow, I guess that would be one of the main dangers to our selection. Gets the hood on again today. Ran a bit better to be fourth at Chelmsford last time. I mean, she had to improve because she hadn't beaten a horse in the three starts prior to that. So she flew home late, caught a few eyes, I guess. I'd like to see her back it up before being lured in. So I'd rather Eaglish over that one. Buzz to the Moon can't be recommended on what we've seen on the track, but any money would be, I guess, interesting. Cena, big yard, but drawn wide, in the sales this month, shown nothing so far, so I can give that a pass. Gracie's Girl ran well last time, but that was back over six at Southall, and I guess it could run well, but I still have slight stamina doubts about Gracie's Girl. Pull Harder Con, can't fancy that. High Maintenance hasn't been disgraced so far. Handicap Debut, Inner Hood, Luke Morris on board. I guess if there was some money for that, that would be a danger. And Shumley, change of headgear, but I mean, that's been well beaten in plating class events. And Lucifer could run into a place and may have his best days ahead of him. But I think Eaglish is in form. Obviously come over from Ireland, got Ben Curtis on board, and hopefully we'll be taking the prize back home.
Not quite best of a bad bunch then, but the only one with sort of without those question marks, the asterisks to the form type stuff.
Yeah, best of a reasonably bad bunch, if I'm honest.
I was trying to be more diplomatic.
I'm not known for my diplomacy.
Let's get forward a little bit then. The 6:55 at Wolverhampton is next. And it is 1 mile, four furlongs, and just a few extra yards on top. Class six. Again, we've got very early prices for this as well. Tulane is 3-1. Cape Agulhas, 9-2. Enmishing, 9-2. Sunshine and Bubbles, that one's far easier to say. That's 6-1. Shamrad is 8-1. Double figure prices for Lifford, Nicoletta, Final Attack, Last Enchantment, Lever, True Thought, But I Like It, the biggest of the lot at 25-1. Favourite again here, Tom?
No. Okay. We're going with Enmeshing.
Okay.
Who he doesn't win necessarily that often, but he is pretty consistent and he does hold his form well. He won over course and distance in returning cheap pieces last month. A £5 rise, but I don't think that was really responsible for him finishing behind both Tulane and Lifford here in December. The extra three furlongs I thought might be more the cause. Dropped back to 10 furlongs at the start of the year. Again, he ran well, I thought, to finish second. That was at Lingfield. That trip that day, I thought, was short of his optimum. So I think Enmeshing is in good nick, and especially with this headgear on, that seems to help. All the wins have been at this distance. Two of them have been here. So I think it's very hard to keep Enmeshing out of the frame at worst, and I'd be hopeful that can come out on top. Because again, if the others, I mean, Lever's in no form on the flat. Tulane, the favourite, that's still a maiden. I just wonder if he wants at least 16 furlongs to see him at his best, maybe even further as opposed to this trip. Sunshine and Bubbles is a grand old mare, but I think needs shorter. Last Enchantment rarely wins and hasn't been looking like doing so. Nicoletta's won a couple of times, but both over shorter. Shamrad is probably an interesting one on Handicap Debut because that's stepping up in trip. I think it needs a lot more than what we've seen so far, but there might be some improvement from that. Lifford, well beaten a couple of days ago. I couldn't really appreciate that one. I thought Cape Agulhas looks best on fibre sand, and so that would worry me transferring to Wolverhampton a bit and would put me off. But I Like It is just not very easy to like it. True Thoughts may have a bit more to come from him with wind surgery under his belt. And actually, True Thoughts was in reasonable form over hurdles. So I think that one could show a little bit returning to the flat. Final Attack, I thought, was the wrong trip and not that easy to fancy. So again, I think Enmeshing's a consistent horse in this grade.
Yes, big consistency there.
And bearing in mind at the moment, anyway, the two market rivals are Tulane, who's never won, and I think wants to go further, and Cape Agglehouse, who I'd rather at Southall.
There we go. The only, one of only two runners in the field, Enmeshing, which has that all-important C and D next to the name. Course and distance for Enmeshing. Sunshine and Bubbles, the other one, as we've mentioned, also has course and distance form. That win came back on the 7th of December. So a couple of selections then at Wolverhampton. It's an interesting card in general, though, really, tomorrow.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it's not necessarily the greatest quality, but we don't always need quality as in quality of horses for good finishers and good racers. I mean, I think Corvair will be quite hard to beat in the 4.55 for Simon Crisford. That seems to... I think it's quite well handicapped, to be honest, after the three runs. 5.55... maybe not for today, but I do like, as a horse, Kilbahar Lady. I just worry a little bit because it's been off the track for 94 days. And it's run well fresh after about 50, 60 days off. But anything more than that, it might take perhaps a run to warm Kilbahar Lady up. But I'd certainly be keeping my eye on that one going forward. 6.25, Matawan really ought to be winning a race like this, in my opinion. And then also in the 7.25, another one who is just coming back off a 131-day break is Alex Boy at the top of the handicap. Again, I'd be worried coming off that break, but I think definitely one to keep in the head for maybe it'll be a nice value price and worth a little tickle. But otherwise, I think I'd be looking maybe next time it loves it at Wolverhampton.
A few then for maybe a bit of a watching brief, which is nice, considering that you can watch every single one of those selections, including the two that we've picked in particular, Enmeshing in the 6.55 and Eglish in the 4.25. You can watch them all completely free to air on William Hill's Betting TV. Tom, thanks so much for joining us on this Brucey bonus part of the podcast.
Thank you.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.